One is a rising star, the other a longtime mainstay. 23-year-old Jose Ortiz will ride Tappert in the Kentucky Derby, and 2001 Derby winning owner John Oxley sends out the 2-year-old champion Classic Empire. It's all on the Tuesday edition of In the Gate.
They're in the gate.
They're in the gate.
In the gate.
They're in the gate.
It's a hit-bobbing finish.
This is In the Gate, ESPN's Thoroughbred Racing Podcast. My name is Barry Abrams. You can follow me on Twitter at BAbramsVoice or on Facebook at Barry Abrams Voice. You can also get us on our YouTube channel by searching In the Gate Podcast. You can get us on SoundCloud as well, which services the iTunes Store and TuneIn.com. You can get us on the Pink Podcatcher app on your phone. And now you can subscribe to In the Gate in the Listen tab of the ESPN app. For the full In the Gate experience, subscribe now in the Listen tab of the ESPN app. What were you doing in your teens and early 20s? Okay, maybe I shouldn't have asked that. You know, now there are cell phone cameras to capture all those things you're thinking of from your teens and early 20s. And you know what? Once it's caught on camera, it never goes away. Jose Ortiz has actually had a lot of what he's done at that age caught on camera. His first career win came not that long ago. In January of 2012, right after we started this podcast, by the way, in his native Puerto Rico at age 18. 3 months later, he was riding in New York. You know, a small, not too competitive jockey colony. Just a year and a half later, Ortiz won his first Grade 1 race here in the States, the 2013 Hopeful at Saratoga, aboard Strong Mandate. In 2015, Ortiz finished fourth among all jockeys by purse earnings and seventh in victories. Last year, he won his first Breeders' Cup race, the Juvenile Turf, aboard Oscar Performance, and then won five races on one November day at Aqueduct. And now...
And there's Tappert. Now he gets the wake-up call. He's threading through from between horses. And now he's angled to the three-path, and he's finishing up full of run. With a quarter of a mile to run, State of Honor has the lead, but here comes the big gray, Tappert. He absolutely flies by the leaders. Tappert, he's in the clear and strictly the one to catch. State of Honor is digging in gamely, trying to hang on for second. Up on the outside is Wild Shot, but down to the wire, it's Tappert. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home four lengths to the good.
Yes, at the ripe old age of 23, Ortiz looks for his first Kentucky Derby win. You have to think there'll be a few of those, riding for the powerful Todd Pletcher stable. And we welcome jockey Jose Ortiz here to In the Gate. Now, you seem to develop a style early on for racing horses that take the early lead. Tappert, though, rated beautifully in the Tampa Bay Derby. What has helped you adapt your racing style to work horses that come from behind?
And Tappert is I really like him. He's a nice horse, and he's a really immature horse. He got to follow a hole. He got to be in company all the time. I think he's better coming off the pace because he can see horses in front of him and keeping him stimulated.
What about you? How do you adapt when your gut tells you you want to take the lead and yet you know with a horse like him you have to give him time?
I mean, I'm good. I'm really good with horses with speed, like you say, but I also can come from behind horse. I also can ride any. I think I can ride any horse, come from behind, go to the lead. In my early career, I was riding a lot of horse with speed, like Laverdad. And, you know, the people say that I was good on the lead, but it was also a good horse. I mean, I adjust pretty well. You see, we won the Tampa Derby, and I'm riding horses that coming from behind also. And I think I'm great. I'm really like it. I can see everything what's going on the race, and it's different, but it's good too. I like it.
What happened to Tappert in his most recent start, the fifth in the Bluegrass at Keeneland?
Tappert, he definitely didn't like the track at all. He worked on it, and he proved it to me that he didn't like the track that day. He wasn't holding great, but he worked great. He don't like the track too much, but he worked good. So we point into the Derby and think we very exciting. He's a nice horse, and hopefully he show up May 6th.
Now, your older brother, Erod, and you ride mainly in New York. I read a story in the Daily Racing Form about a security guard in New York, Pete O'Rosa, who was so important in your becoming a jockey. What did he do for your career?
Well, Peter is a great person. He know my grandfather from, he's from the same neighborhood as my grandfather, so they know each other a very long time ago. And he helped Ira to find an agent, and he lived with Ira when Ira came here. They lived together, and he's been like a, when my father was in Puerto Rico, he's been like a father to us. Not only on the track, but he helped us in, you know, be a better person.
And supposedly he was the one who said, these two guys are going to be really good jockeys. What do you think he saw?
I don't know. He's been around the game a long time. So when we were about 10, 11 years old, we went to the jockey on Aqueduct, and he put us on the equisizer. And he teaches, you know, at that time we were 10 years old, 11. He tells us about how you make the cross and all those things, and we did it very well. And I think he liked it, and he said they got natural ability. And that's what makes him say that we were going to be really, really good. I think he see we had natural.
Now, Erod has two Breeders' Cup wins. You have one. He has a Triple Crown race win, last year's Belmont on Creator. You're looking for your first. How competitive are you with your brother?
I'm very happy that he has won two Breeders' Cup. I hope many more to come, and very happy last year when he won the Belmont also. Not competitive in that. Like, I mean, I compare it. I want to win those kind of races too, but I'm really, really happy that he gets done, that he won, you know. But he's 1 year ahead of me all the time, so he has won those races. I think I'm coming after. I already won my first Breeders' Cup, so hopefully this year or next year I won my first Triple Crown race.
Jockey Jose Ortiz joins us here on In the Gate. He'll ride Tampa Bay Derby winner Taprit in this year's Run for the Roses. Now, I tried to contact you really early on because it can get chaotic during a big event, and I'm trying to minimize the impact on your time. That's my thinking. But last year, on the eve of another big Triple Crown race, that Belmont Stakes that your brother won, you proposed to your now fiancé, fellow jockey Taylor Rice. You had to do it right then?
I mean, it was a great moment. We went in, and I just wanted to do it. And we already got married, and we got a baby on the way.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, and we already got married December 20th. And she's 7 months pregnancy. The baby will come soon.
Now, I have it also on good authority that you are a big New York Mets fan. I happen to love people like that. Tell us about that attic you have with all the Mets stuff in it.
It's great. It's the main cave up there. That's where I go to do PlayStation or watch games. It's great. I really like the Mets. I become a Mets fan very early on in my age because I was a huge fan of Jose Reyes, the shortstop. That's how I became a Mets fan.
And now they have him back.
Yep, but he's playing very poorly right now.
I know, but now your agent's a big Mets fan too. Is that why he's your agent?
No, I didn't mean find out later.
I've heard you're also friends with fellow Puerto Rican Edwin Diaz, the Seattle Mariners closer. What a story he is. He was in the low minor leagues last year, didn't even get an invite to spring training by any major league team. Now he's a critical part of that Mariners team that might win its division. How'd you get to be friends with him?
I mean, Edwin liked the horses a lot, and you know, I'm being a Puerto Rican, I'm being a, you know, just like him. He's John, he's got 22 years old. I'm 23, and he's very huge attraction in Puerto Rico. You know, he's famous, and he be like the horse racing a lot. So we found out, and we talk, and then we become friends. He's a really good person, and I like the way he play. He play with a lot of energy.
Now, everybody has his own preparation to get ready for a big race like the Kentucky Derby. For you, it involves your wisdom teeth being removed. That's not the typical preparation I would expect before the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, I have to. But I'll be ready for the Derby. For May 6th, I will be more than ready.
Well, I know when I had my wisdom teeth out, I had a lot of ice cream to try to soothe the gums, but that's not really an option for a jockey. So how do you handle that?
No, I mean, I'm going to take two outs first, and then when I got time, I get the other two. But, I mean, I'm really good on my weight, so I'd be good. I think it's just part of life.
One more on Taprit. After what you learned about him with that fifth place finish in the Bluegrass, what do you hope happens for him in the Kentucky Derby to set him up to win?
First of all, we got to draw a good position. I think the pace make the race. Hopefully somebody go fast and we can close. You know, they got to go. They got to put some pace on him and then we will close. He's feeling great and just the post position is very important in this kind of races. So 20 horse field, we have to draw a good post position.
And what would it mean to you to win that race?
Like me to any other jockey, it's a dream come true, you know. It's like the Pegasus War is 12 million. But I bet it feels better to win the Kentucky Derby. It's not about the money, it's just about the prestige of the race.
Understood. Well, congratulations on making it this far, and we wish you the best of luck with Taprit. Jose Ortiz, thank you so much for a few minutes, sir.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break here on In the Gate, but when we come back, Kentucky Derby winning owner John Oxley sends out the 2-year-old champion Classic Empire. It's Derby week. Don't you dare go anywhere. Welcome back to the In the Gate podcast. Just want to make sure you know that we do this show every single week during the year. We give you the best stories, analysis, news, and information regarding horse racing. And if you subscribe to us through the Listen tab of the ESPN app, on SoundCloud, on YouTube, on TuneIn.com, on that little pink podcatcher app on your phone that you might not even remember is there, you'll be automatically updated every time we post a show. And who knows, you might even learn something, and even crazier, you might actually like it. John Oxley, the owner of the reigning 2-year-old champion Classic Empire, has been a prolific thoroughbred owner for several decades. He's a well-decorated polo player as well, a Hall of Famer actually, just like his father. And just like Dad, John Oxley made his fortune in oil and gas in Texas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. But the elder John Oxley had been struggling with his natural gas company just after World War II. Then he met a 300-pound Paul Bunyan-type guy named Smokey Bilyeu, who came up with a new way to store some of the natural gas that Oxley and others were mining. As bright as Smokey must have been, he designed gas refining plants after having designed camps for the Army during the war. He wasn't alert enough to patent his storage process. John Oxley Sr. and others used Smokey's idea, became a big success, and the rest is history. Both father and son were accomplished thoroughbred horsemen as well as polo horsemen. Thoroughbreds are one of the breeds used in the sport of polo, and John Jr. has put together a mighty impressive career as a racehorse owner, most notably with a little colt named Monarcos.
Here comes Monarcos under a heavy drive on the far outside. Invisible Ink is there. Point given, not today. 1 furlong left. Here comes Monarcos, who sweeps to the lead. He's pulling away by 2. He's pulling away by 3. Jorge Chavez and Monarcos have won the Kentucky Derby. And the final time was 1:59.4.
To this day, Monarcos' Derby win is one of only 2 run in under 2 minutes time. If you really need me to tell you whose was faster, you probably shouldn't be listening to this show. The question now is, of course, will John Oxley's 2-year-old champion live up to the legacy of Monarcos?
The champion Classic Empire is fifth, but he's only two from the front. They run towards the top of the stretch, and Malagasy has a short lead. Conquest Mo Money comes right back at him and actually retakes the front. Classic Empire 2.5 to make up Conquest Mo Money and Malagasy. They are right together. Here comes Classic Empire trying to run down the new leader, Malagasy. Malagasy, Conquest Mo Money. Here's the champ, Classic Empire. It is Conquest Mo Money, Classic Empire!
Classic Empire has had some issues this spring, however. He finished a non-threatening third in the Holy Bull at Gulfstream, the first time he hadn't won a race he actually finished. Remember, he threw his jockey at the start of the Hopeful at Saratoga last summer. Mark Cassie, his trainer, found a foot abscess after the Holy Bull, which could have explained his performance. More recently, Classic Empire simply refused to work one morning at Palm Meadows Training Center in Florida. Cassie linked the behavior to discomfort in the horse's back. A therapist has helped Classic Empire get past that hurdle. And then, of course, he returned, as you heard, to win the Arkansas Derby. While running through the entire stretch on his left lead, he never switched leads. Well, before that race had been run, we had a chance to welcome in here to win the gate for the first time, owner John Oxley. I know that Street Sense and American Pharoah went against the burden of being the two-year-old champion. They're the only two who've come back the next spring to win the Kentucky Derby, but you've been around the block a few times, so when Classic Empire won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and you knew he'd inevitably be crowned the champion, how much did you just instinctively start to think, okay, so what's going to go wrong, and now here it is?
Well, you don't like to think about that. I don't think I wanted to go there particularly, but I've been around the game now for 45 years, so I know that it's a roller coaster of ups and downs and emotions as well. And when a horse is doing so well, you don't really anticipate a problem, but after it happens, you know, statistically, it's not unusual.
Now, you've said that one of your first memories as a kid was listening, not watching, listening with your family to the radio of Assault's 1946 Derby win. How much importance do you put on trying to get Classic Empire to that race?
You know, that's always an objective when I buy a colt, just because not just the Derby, but that run up to the Derby, you know, from the time they began to run as two-year-olds. Hopefully, there's so many opportunities for exciting stakes races along the road to the Derby. I just like that, really, that ride from the summer of their two-year-old year up and through the Triple Crown races. So the Derby is always something you hope for, but statistically, realistically, it's maybe just once in a lifetime, if that. So I've already been fortunate enough to win.
Now, you know about the travails of riding, both for horse and human. For those who don't know, Mr. Oxley nearly lost his brother Thomas in a polo accident back in 1968. How much does a memory like that influence how you handle your horses in terms of when to take the risk of them coming back, when to give them more time, etc.?
Well, that accident that Tom had, as you say, at the young age of 21, that was, of course, polo, and they were on the thoroughbred as well, so there's that connection. There was not an injury to the horse, so I don't know that I relate that particularly to thinking about the injuries that may occur with the thoroughbred in racing. But nevertheless, the thoroughbred experience for me, I played 50 years, and just being always on the thoroughbred, you know, we use that exclusively in polo, so I had that gene, I think, that just connected with the joy of being around a thoroughbred and appreciating learning about them and beginning to evaluate what a good horse looked like, and then getting excited about the Derby win, as you say, with Assault in 46. We didn't have TV, of course. I just had the little family RCA radio, and I was glued to that. It was quite an exciting race call, as I recall.
It is just terrific to have owner John Oxley with us here on In the Gate. How often do you think about Monarcos and the Derby win?
Well, of course, every time I go to the Derby, but leading up to the Derby, if you have a contender in a given year, and, you know, Monarcos always comes to the mind because You just realize as each year goes by how much you appreciate that gift to an owner, and I was lucky enough to have it, and it's a real blessing. You think about it, if not every day, certainly every week, perhaps.
Now, John Ward was your trainer at that time in 2001. You two spent over three decades together. That's amazing. Now that John Ward is the executive director of the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, how did you get hooked up with Mark Cassie as your current trainer?
When John decided to take his job as executive director, I had met Mark before. We began to talk that same year about maybe buying a few two-year-olds, because I knew John was going to be not training any more. So I liked Mark, and I liked what he'd done, and particularly in Canada, of course, leading trainer up there. So we went to a two-year-old sale. What's that been, 5 or 6 years ago now? And one of the several I bought with Mark was the Delightful Mary, a nice two-year-old chestnut filly, and she went on to be a multiple stakes winner. And is now on our farm as a broodmare, and she's awesome, and she was very fast. So we got off to a good start, and it just each link along the road, we just expanded our program, and I've more from Woodbine in Canada down more back into the States where I've been with Ward, and we're beginning to have a real success as we did last year.
Speaking of success, you were part of the Pegasus World Cup as well, running Noble Bird after making a deal to run in the slot held by Earl Mack and his partners. Noble Bird finished sixth of the 12 runners. How do you feel now about the concept and execution of the Pegasus World Cup?
Well, I think it was an exciting race. You know, it had a tremendous turnout, and the handle was superb, so it was a big success from that perspective. You know, now how it worked out financially for each of the 12 people that put up the $1 million, I really don't know, because I was not among that group. But I think, you know, anything time you can pull off a new innovative type race and it gets a huge attraction and turnout and press that the Pegasus received, I think it's good for racing.
So is this a concept that owners like you would continue to support?
Yeah, well, possibly. Possibly as of the way I did this year. I prefer to put my budget, my money available, back into buying more horses and pursuing stakes caliber acquisitions and wins, hopefully, down the road. I'm not inclined to be one that would put up $1 million to look forward to hopefully having a horse then to run or making a deal to run. I'm more of a traditionalist, and I love the history of the game. And so I could be a candidate, of course, with another slot. Somebody might want to make a deal with a horse of mine, and we'll certainly look at that.
And Classic Empire draws alongside Syndergaard. They're two lengths in front from Not This Time. And Practical Joke getting up towards the inside within striking distance, swinging for home. And Classic Empire clear by 2.5 lengths to Not This Time, who's finishing on determinedly. Classic Empire to the 16th, about 1.5 lengths. Not This Time is gradually wearing him down. Classic Empire, Not This Time, Classic Empire, Classic Empire by a neck, Not This Time.
Now, obviously, you have a long view of this sport, almost 5 decades in, so you're the perfect person to ask this question, especially as relates to Classic Empire. What's more important to you, winning the Derby or already having 3 Grade 1 wins, the Breeders' Futurity, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and the Arkansas Derby, when it comes time to stand Classic Empire at stud?
Well, I think probably from a financial perspective, probably being winning 2 Grade 1s at 2 and being a 2-year-old champion is put you in a better position there than just maybe winning the Derby. But it's hard to say. It depends on the horse and the quality of the horse and really the race record. So I'm just thrilled to be in either spot if they should develop for me.
Our thanks to John Oxley and to Jose Ortiz. It's easy to get wrapped up in the buzz of the Kentucky Derby with the corn tops ripe and meadows in the bloom, but lost amidst mint juleps, ladies' hats, and the garland of roses is an ominous wave approaching, packed with gloom. Last month at Santa Anita, one whole day of racing was canceled. The reason? Not enough horses to fill the card. There wasn't anything quirky, no issues with the weather, or a virus outbreak going around the yard. The number of horses born each year has dropped precipitously from 20 years ago. The crop is thin, and the numbers of horses in each race in California are small, making odds go down, not as big a payoff to win. Some smaller tracks have closed for good while others run fewer days. But when the problem hits a major place, you have to wonder whether the goodwill of Derby Day will keep racing relevant in the entertainment space. You can get us on our YouTube channel by searching In the Gate Podcast. You can get us on SoundCloud as well, which services the iTunes Store and TuneIn.com. You can get us on the Pink Podcatcher app on your iPhone. And now you can subscribe to In the Gate in the Listen tab of the ESPN app. For the full In the Gate experience, subscribe now in the Listen tab of the ESPN app. And you can follow me on Twitter at B. Abrams Voice or on Facebook at Barry Abrams Voice. Remember to join us tomorrow when our guests will include Olympic ski champion Bodie Miller, co-owner of Fast and Accurate, as well as Christoph Soumillon, jockey of UAE Derby winner Thunder Snow. But for now, that's In the Gate. I'm Barry Abrams. We'll see you tomorrow.